Good morning and a very warm welcome to all of you. On a better day, certainly after yesterday, I think all the intimations are as printed on the order of service. Just having a quick look. We have just agreed that next Sunday there will be the opportunity for those who wish it to give to a collection for Christian AIDS collection for the people who are struggling after the tsunami in Indonesia. Now, I'm conscious that there's been an awful lot of asking for money recently, and I don't like doing that, and also that many of you will have given individually already. But if there's anyone who wants to give a wee bit and maybe thought it was too little to give on your own, we will have a collection next Sunday so that any little bits will all add it together, and we will send them off to Christian Aid for the people in Indonesia. The one other intimation I have is a letter that just came in from the Scottish Prison Service. No, I'm not being put in prison. That on Sunday the 18th of November, which is part of Prisoners Week, there will be a special service at 6:30 in the evening in Calderhead Erskine Church of Scotland in Shotts. The service will be based around the Prisoners Week theme, Who Do You Say I Am?, and refreshments will follow the service. It'll be a good opportunity to engage in contemporary worship together and hear stories of lives transformed by the gospel and to hear an inspiring message from their guest speaker, Mark Pawson. If anybody can go to that, again, I'll put it at the back so you can see the details, and I'll maybe ask Jean to get it in the intimations as well. I think these are all the intimations. Today, as we are all aware, is a special Sunday when we celebrate Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper. God is love, and we are all God's beloved children. We can only love because he first loved us. And perfect love drives out all fear. Our psalm to begin the service today is some verses from Psalm 90. Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, O Lord, how long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Amen. And our opening hymn is number 509, Jesus Calls Us or the Tumult, hymn 509.
Jesus calls us or the tumult.
Well, as we've no youngsters in church today, I don't actually have an all-age talk. Well, no, I can't lie, can I? I did have one, but I've left it at home. But I've got two wee bits of good news to share with you. I have quite a possessive thing over the couples that I marry, and especially those that I marry in church. And the fantastic news is that at 20 past midnight, Friday night, Saturday morning, the first couple that I've married in this church had a baby. So Sarah and Jamie had a little boy, and they're all well, and he's to be called Jacob Drew Savage. Isn't that wonderful? And the other bit of news which I thought I would like to share with you, since we're a church family, you may or may not have noticed that I wasn't here on Friday, and that's because I travelled through to Crail and then St Andrews, because my sister, after 20 years living with her partner, decided to get married. So they're legal at last. Erica and Alan are now a married couple, and we had a lovely, lovely quiet celebration. So I think we will say the Lord's Prayer together and then move on with our service. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. So we will sing number 187, There's a Wideness in God's Mercy. Our prayer is a piece written by Bishop Ken Untiner of Saginaw, and it's entitled Prophets of a Future Not Our Own. It helps now and then to step back and take the long view. The kingdom, that's God's kingdom, is not only beyond our efforts, it is beyond our vision. We accomplish in our lifetime only a tiny fraction of the magnificent enterprise that is God's work. Nothing we do is complete, which is another way of saying that the kingdom always lies beyond us. No statement says all that could be said. No prayer fully expresses our faith. No confession brings perfection. No pastoral visit brings wholeness. No program accomplishes the church's mission. No set of goals and objectives includes everything. This is what we are about. We plant seeds that one day will grow. We water seeds already planted, knowing that they hold future promise. We lay foundations that will need further development. We provide yeast that produces effects beyond our capabilities. We cannot do everything, and there is a sense of liberation in realizing that. This enables us to do something, and to do it very well. It may be incomplete, but it is a beginning, a step along the way, an opportunity for God's grace to enter and do the rest. We may never see the end results, but that is the difference between the master builder and the worker. We are workers, not master builders. Ministers, not messiahs. We are prophets of a future, not our own. Amen. We come now to our Bible readings from Hebrews chapter 4 and from Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 10.
The first reading is from Hebrews 4, 12 to 16. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must account, Jesus, the great high priest. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we have. Yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. The second reading is from Mark 10, 17 to 31. The rich and the kingdom of God. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. Then Peter spoke up. We have left everything to follow you. Truly I tell you, Jesus replied, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last be first.
Amen, and may God add his blessings to these readings from his holy word. Our hymn before the sermon is number 189, Be Still for the Presence of the Lord, hymn 189.
Be still for the presence.
Let's pray. Lord, your power is indeed moving in this place. So I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts and minds will be pleasing in your sight through your grace, because you are our rock, our redeemer, and our friend. Amen. With God, all things are possible. That has to be one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Many years ago, I went off on a bike ride with a friend. We set off from my home in Aberdeenshire with everything we needed, packed into panniers and a front box, and we cycled as far as we could each day without planning anything ahead, well, at least for the first part, and we followed the CTC Route 1 towards Inverness. Each day when we started feeling really weary, we'd start looking for a B&B to stay in. We weren't that tough that we carried our tents. It was a great holiday because there was a real sense of freedom, having everything we needed in just a few bags, traveling light. As we approached Inverness, there was a beautiful stretch of the path that went through the forest. And at the end of this, there was a gate. It's one of these gates that's designed to stop motor vehicles getting into the forest paths, and obviously designed and shaped to allow a bicycle, ideally a bicycle with panniers, to get through it. But whatever we did, whichever way we moved them, our bikes wouldn't fit through. So we ended up having to completely dismantle everything, unfasten the panniers, take them off, lift the bicycles through, go back and get the panniers, take them through, and then fasten it all up again. And it struck me at that moment that that was just like the difficulty of getting a camel through the eye of a needle. In order to enter the kingdom of God, we have to set aside all our baggage. And that baggage means different things to each one of us. It's whatever we are most attached to. For the rich young man in our gospel, it was his wealth. For us, it might be our pride, our ego, our family, our country, our reputation, our possessions. It's whatever we struggle to let go of, whatever we are so attached to that as close as soul and spirit, joints and marrow, as Hebrews says, the word of God is sharp enough to penetrate and divide. I remember a few years ago someone describing their daughter as needing a surgical operation to separate her from her mobile phone. Maybe that's our baggage. But I sensed that I was not alone last Sunday in being very impressed by Melanie's talk about CAP, Christians Against Poverty, until she started the push to separate us from our money. Then you could just sense the tension in the church rise. The level of her requests was, in my opinion, completely unreasonable for Fourth St. Paul's, because we're not a rich community. But there is something in us that makes it difficult to talk about money. And this is obviously nothing new, because the gospel story of the rich man reflects issues that were relevant then as now. "Good teacher," the man said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus responds quite simply, "Obey the commandments." Only 6 of the commandments are listed in Mark's gospel. And when the young man replies that, well, he's kept them since he was a boy, I, for one, find it quite surprising that Jesus looked at him and loved him. So why does that surprise me? And I might be alone in that. I think it's perhaps from years as a vet and now as a minister of being asked for advice only to be told, oh, we've tried that. Oh, we're doing that already. Or, I've kept God's commandments since I was a child. I'm afraid when that happens, my response is not to look at that person with love. My impatience leads me to be frustrated or even angry at these replies. I long to be more like Jesus and to be able to look at anyone, everyone, and love them. And maybe it's because he looked at this man with love that the man did listen to what Jesus said. Because he doesn't put it gently, does it? Jesus immediately cuts to the quick. That's that double-edged sword described in Hebrews. One thing you lack, he said. Go sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. Tom Wright puts an interesting interpretation on this passage. First of all, he highlights the fact that Jesus did not mention the first four commandments. No gods before Yahweh, no graven images, no taking Yahweh's name in vain, as well as not mentioning the Sabbath. Tom Wright writes, Jesus substitutes three things for the opening words of the Sinaitic covenant, which is the Ten Commandments. Sell up, give it away, follow me. The commandments have become devastatingly simple and personal. Tom Wright continues, loyalty to Jesus now functions as the loyalty which Israel's God demands, to him and him alone. And this is Jesus fulfilling the Torah, not abolishing it. It's a compelling argument, although my understanding is that most people in those days knew the whole of the Torah off by heart. And so even if Jesus only spoke those few commandments, the person listening would have in their head heard all of them. But you can argue with Tom Wright over that if you wish. But before we leave the story of the rich man, I think we need to accept the blunt, disconcerting fact that rich people make poor disciples. This is because when we are rich, and that can be in any sense of the word, we lose the ability to approach God with empty hands. Being filled by or attached to earthly things leads us to hold on with clenched fists of comfort and control. I remember all my years of fundraising for the different bike rides I did. The poorest people were always the most generous, and the richest people hung on tightest. So as we approach the sacrament of Holy Communion, let's all take a moment to think about what we are clutching too tightly in our lives. What is preventing us from letting go and letting God? And what do we need God's word, that double-edged sword, to separate us from? There's an old story of a man approaching a holy man for advice, similar to the rich man in our gospel story. The holy man offers him a cup of tea. The man accepts, and the holy man begins to pour. And he keeps pouring, and the tea overflows into the saucer. And he keeps pouring, and it overflows from the saucer all over the floor. And the man says, stop, what are you doing? The holy man replies, you're like that cup. You're so full of yourself that there is no room for any advice I might give you. Now, this may well make it sound as the disciples thought that it's impossible for any of us to enter God's kingdom. But both our readings end with some wonderful good news. Hebrews reminds us that in Jesus we have a high priest who fully empathizes with us, a man who has been tempted in every way we are, yet who did not sin. Mark gives us that wonderful statement, with man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. And I want to finish by listening again to the words from Hebrews, for they strike me as being the perfect introduction to Holy Communion. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Amen. We now continue our worship with the giving of our offerings. Let's pray. Loving, living God, for your generous providing, for the abundance that you give us, we are truly grateful. And Lord, help us to be more generous ourselves. And we ask that you accept these, our offerings, along with our worship, our prayers, and our whole lives. And Lord, we ask you to use them all for the growth of your kingdom, hereinforth and throughout the world. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. Our hymn before communion is hymn 655, For Your Generous Providing.
Thank you.
Those who would like to receive communion, please move to pews with the white cloth. As we listen to the reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 26. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So now, following Jesus' example and command, we take this bread and this wine, the ordinary things of the world which Christ will make special. And as he said a prayer before sharing, let us do so too. Let us pray. Gratitude, praise, hearts lifted high, voices full and joyful, these you deserve. For when we were nothing, you made us something. When we had no name and no faith and no future, you called us your children. When we lost our way or turned away, you did not abandon us. When we came back to you, your arms opened wide in welcome. And now, as we look, we see that you prepare a table for us, offering not just bread, not just wine, but your very self, so that we may be filled, forgiven, healed, blessed, and made new again. You are worth all our pain and all our praise. So now, in gratitude, we join our voices to those of the church on earth and in heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord God, as you welcome us to share the richness of your table, we cannot forget the rawness of the earth. We cannot take bread and forget those who are hungry. Your world is one world, and we are stewards of its nourishment. Lord, may we put our prosperity at the service of the poor. We cannot take wine and forget those who are thirsty, the ground and the rootless. The earth and its weary people cry out for justice. Lord, may we put our fullness at the service of the empty. We cannot hear your words of peace and forget the world at war, or if not at war, then preparing for it. Show us quickly, Lord, how to turn weapons into welcome signs, and the lust for power into a desire for peace. We cannot celebrate the feast of your family and forget our divisions. We are one in spirit, but not in fact. History and hurt still dismember us. Lord, heal your church in every brokenness. For us, you were born. For us, you healed, preached, taught, and showed the way to heaven. For us you were crucified, and for us after death you rose again. Lord Jesus Christ, present with us now, for all that you have done and all that you have promised, what have we to offer? Our hands are empty. Our hearts are sometimes full of wrong things. We are not fit to gather up the crumbs from under your table. But with you is mercy and the power to change us. Help us to welcome you with trust and humility. So as we do in this place what you did in an upper room, send down your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine, that they may become for us your body and blood, healing, forgiving, and making us whole. And that we may become for you your body and life, welcoming, loving, and caring for all the world until your kingdom comes. Amen. Among friends, seated around a table, Jesus took bread, broke it, and said, "This is my body. It is broken for you." And later he took the cup of wine and said, "This is the new relationship with God, made possible because of my death. Take this, all of you, to remember me." Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. Grant us your peace. Bring your heartache, bring your tears, bring your worries, stress, and fears. Bring your troubles, hurt, and care. Bring your doubt, dismay, despair. Bring your weakness, bring your shame, bring your faults and sense of blame, bring your aching deep inside, all the emptiness you hide. Bring your all, lay bare your soul. Christ is here to make you whole, to make us whole. Because all things are possible with God. As the elders distribute first the bread and then the wine, we invite you, if you wish, to hold on to your piece of bread until we have all been served, and then we'll eat together. There is a section on each plate which contains gluten-free bread for those who cannot tolerate gluten. And then similarly, we invite you to hold on to your cup of wine until all have been served, and then we will all drink together. These are the gifts of God for the people of God.
From heaven you came, helpless babe. entered our world, your glory veiled, not to be served, but to serve. And give your life that we might live. This is our God, the servant King. He calls us now to follow him, to bring our lives as a daily
wants to bind up our wounds and send us on our way, restored, renewed, find healing and wholeness.
From heaven you came, helpless babe. Entered our world, your glory veiled, not to be served, but to serve. And give your life that we might live. This is our God.
in the one whose blood was spilled for us, who yearns to help us start again and send us on our way, remade, redeemed, find mercy and love. Please stand. Not an easy peace, not an insignificant peace, not a half-hearted peace, but the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ is with us now. Let's share it with one another. Peace, O Christ, be with you. Peace, O Christ, be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you, Ellen. Peace be with you. 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 And peace be with all of you. Lovely, thank you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you have put your life into our hands. Now we put our lives into yours. Take us, renew and remake us. What we have been is past. What we will be through you still awaits us. Lead us on. Take us with you. Amen. And our closing hymn is number 659, Put Peace into Each Other's Hands, which we've just been doing. Hymn 659, 659.
Thank you.
And now, as we go out into the world, may the love of Christ shine in our eyes, the compassion of Christ work through our hands, the word of Christ fall from our lips, and the life of Christ flow through our veins to his glory. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest and remain upon each and every one of us today and forevermore.